Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Generation Next, after a shaky start, we're all here, we're alive, we're okay.
Bonjour.
Bonjour. You've got Emma, Matt and Lee in the studio, and we're kindly joined by Jason Ball. We're so excited to have you on the show, Jason. Thank you for coming in.
I'm excited to be here. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
We've got such a massive show planned for tonight because we've got three speakers from the Global Atheist Convention. Not one, not two, but three.
How are we going to get it all in?
I don't know. I'll probably have to stop waffling on if we're trying to get everything in. But we do. We've got Jason Ball on for the entire hour, which is so great. We've got Fiona Patton coming in for a little chat and Kylie Sturgis, who is the MC of the entire event.
Indeed. Yeah. Speechless.
So pretty much the show's all about atheism tonight because we think it's been a bit misrepresented in the media. So we're here to set the record straight. If you've got any comments, you can get in touch with us on 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au. But I think we'll probably launch straight into it, Jason, if you're ready to go.
Yeah, hit me. Come on.
Hit me with your questions. So I consulted Wikipedia today about atheism rather. Yep. And it told me it's a rejection of the belief in any deities, gods or goddesses. But I wanted to know how an atheist defines atheism.
Well, I think I would define atheism as someone that doesn't believe in God. If you want to go the official definition from, say, the Atheist Foundation of Australia, they say that atheism is the acceptance that there's no verifiable or credible evidence for the existence of God, gods or the supernatural. And so I guess an atheist comes from this perspective that, you know, it's good to live life based on beliefs that are backed by evidence instead of faith.
So what is your belief for us being created?
Well,
you
I
had
think
to launch straight
we,
into that one.
Sorry. Let's go into it.
Should we explain where that came from? Or?
Well, we know from science that we're products of natural selection via evolution. So we know that we've evolved over time. We know that the Earth's, you know, began, 13 billion years ago or something like that.
Because one of the major bones of contention between people who, you know, are theists and atheists is that where did we come from? And I should take this moment to mention that Lee believes in that fictional man in the sky that we talk about sometimes.
That's a big call. I'm like cornered here. This
Sorry,
is not
no,
fair.
No, that's not true. Yeah, no, it's completely valid to believe in God. But that's not what we're talking about.
Well, no, but I mean, I understand that. But, okay, so moving back onto how we were all created.
Yeah.
I mean, scientists are still finding it hard to understand DNA as its complexity and how it would be able to intertwine and then evolve in nature.
No, scientists have got a pretty good idea about how DNA works these days. I think DNA, once they deconstructed the genome or whatever, that was sort of the final icing on the cake to cementing the evidence of evolution because it fitted so nicely with the fossil record and everything like that to show that we did evolve. You know, I know that a lot of people out there might say, oh, you know, evolution is just a theory or something like that, but I think that misunderstands the way that the word theory is used in science. Theory refers to something that's actually, backed up by evidence.
But at the end of the day, what was the beginning? I mean, evolution is, I mean, it's here and there. I'm sorry, but...
Sure. I mean, what started everything, you know? And I mean, one of the questions to say that, you know, God started everything. Well, if everything had to have something that started it, what started God then?
So what do atheists believe started it all?
Well, I think atheists don't pretend that they have all the answers like some religious figures do. I think we accept that. We accept that there's a lot of things out there that we don't know that science still hasn't uncovered that maybe we'll never know because we just don't have the capacity to understand that as
or
human beings.
Or the time on the planet to actually understand it either. Mm, I mean, that's not to say just because we haven't got answers doesn't mean we're not going to get answers. I mean, it's taken us this long to discover automobiles, but that doesn't mean that they were never going to exist. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the good thing about science is that it's always changing based on new evidence, and it's always, you know, the best answer that we have at any given time. And so we need to, I guess, believe in that if we're going to believe in something.
So maybe the answer to your question is, what do atheists believe in? Science is what atheists believe in.
Perhaps, yeah. Perhaps. I mean, or understanding science, maybe not as a belief, but as a process for how we figure out the reality of the world that we live in.
Sure.
Definitely.
Sounds good to me. My next question was, did you grow up in a secular household or religious one? Because I know that was an awkward segue. Because I know that a lot of people, especially in the LGBTIQ community, who do grow up in religious households are directed towards atheism through the idea that if God made them gay, then why are they told constantly that God hates gay people? So, like, I mean, what was it for you? Did you grow up as a religious person and then convert, or?
No, I grew up in a pretty ordinary Australian household. My parents weren't particularly religious, although I think they told me early on that there existed a God and there existed a heaven and a hell. But I mean, this was around the same time I was told that there was a tooth fairy and a Santa Claus. Mm. And I guess when I found out that those things weren't true, it probably did cast a bit of doubt in my mind about the other things.
They never really clear up that, do they? Because, you know, you get to the age and they're like, look, I'm sorry to break this to you, but Santa's not really true.
Yeah.
And then comes a tooth fairy.
It's like, what next?
And then comes, you know, your acne will go away. But they never really clear up the God thing.
Yeah, no.
No, and I mean, for me, I guess I never really felt, growing up in Australia, religion isn't really pushing our face very much. So I never really felt the need to explore that question. I guess I kind of thought that maybe God existed. The idea of heaven was nice. I would kind of talk to God as if, you know, I had someone out there watching over for me. It was kind of like a comfort, I guess. Yep. And whether or not there was someone listening to me when I was talking didn't really matter. Just whatever. That all changed for me when I went on student exchange to the United States of America, and I was situated in Kansas when I was 17, which is, you know, the buckle of the Bible Belt. And It was there that I was actually confronted with the question of God, and I was asked, you know, are you a Christian, by my friends there. They were all evangelical Christians. They all believed in creationism and a young earth and everything like that. And I think it was on my way to my first youth group, I was asked, you know, are you a Christian? I said, well, I went to an Anglican school, so I guess I'm Anglican. And they said, well, have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour? And
they actually say that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're in Kansas now.
I'd like to talk to you about Jesus.
Yeah. So, I mean, being over there, I guess, you know, the whole question of evolution, is that true? I was the only kid in my class that thought that evolution was true. I mean, I was taught it in high school. I was pretty sure it was scientific fact.
Yeah. Did you find you were also the only kid that was really informed about evolution?
Well, I wasn't even really informed. And so that was what galvanised me to, I guess, look for the evidence and figure out how to think critically, how to evaluate these claims that they're making. And through that, through the reading that I did at, you know, the library at high school, and through conversations with my friends, I guess, you know, discovered the writings of Richard Dawkins and Carl Sagan and Stephen Jay Gordon, some great science writers. And I really felt that that was a much better approach to use evidence and reason and logic to figure out the answers, rather than something like the Bible, which is, you know, based on dogma or scripture or something like that.
Absolutely. And, you know, to our listeners out there, if you haven't read it, The God Delusion by Richard Dawkins is a really great book. You should give yourself the best chance at, definitely, you know, if you want to believe in something, that's great, but you want to be informed. And, you know, if you read that book, you know, it's just a really good book. But, you know, we're going to be right back talking to Jason Balsamore as well as Fiona Patton. We're looking forward to speaking to you again very soon.
Welcome back to Joy 94.9. We've got in the studio at the moment, sorry, Fiona Patton and Jason Ball, speakers, for the Atheist Convention coming up on April 13th to 15th. Woo-hoo. Now, if you want to get in touch with us, just because we're addressing massive issues at the moment, 0427-JOY-949. You can call in on 1300-JOY-949 or email us at onair@joy.org.au. And thank you for joining us, Fiona and Jason.
Thank you.
Absolutely. And for those who don't know at home, Fiona Patton is the founder and convener of the Australian Sex Party, which is going really well for a new party.
Exceptionally well.
Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So we're talking all about atheism tonight. We had a few questions for you, political questions, you know. So how important do you think it is for Australian politics and politics in general to be separate from any religious interference?
I think it's actually really crucial that our political system and our government is independent from any influencing bodies. And because we're such a multicultural society, I mean, if we are going to be influenced by religion, which one do you choose? And
exactly.
You know, I think we just, you know, I was thinking about this and I was thinking, you know, I mean, look at the miners, for example, and the outrage when miners, you know, the mining industry, with all their billions of dollars, tries to influence government. Religion also has billions of dollars and certainly tries to do the same thing. And I think we either need to make that very transparent, which it's not currently, and more importantly, we need to ensure that it happens as little as possible.
Exactly.
And we're talking about the, you know, mining, you know, or should we increase the mining tax? I mean, religions don't pay any tax.
Well, that's right.
We've exactly. talked about that before. That's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
That being said, how secular do you feel the current political climate is and how does it affect the governing of our country?
I don't think it's particularly secular at all. Mm. And when you think that 35% of members of parliament in the federal parliament attest to being part of the Christian Parliamentary Fellowship, which means they get down on their knees and pray every morning. The Lord's Prayer is said before parliament exactly. each session.
Yep.
So, no, I don't think we're particularly secular at all. And I think that comes out very clearly when we look at other policies, which I'm sure we'll talk about later, about, you know, whether it's gay and lesbian issues exactly. or yep. Chaplaincy programs or a whole range of issues. It's true. And then you look at, I mean, something like the Australian Christian Lobby, which, you know, I think probably boasts about how much influence they have.
I think they would claim the 60% of Australians that might tick Christian in the census. They'd
absolutely.
Say that is our, we're the biggest voting bloc in Australia, yeah. they'd probably say.
Yeah.
But our politicians kowtow to it. So, you know, Julia Gillard at the, you know, at the last federal election, she launched the Australian Christian Lobby's website and she's an atheist. And
oh, we were talking about that earlier in the studio and how her doing that is really pandering to a group of people that I don't think was necessarily going to vote for her in the first place as an unmarried female.
Well, that's right.
And she's alienated a lot of the gay community who do believe in same-sex yeah. marriage by her policies, her personal beliefs. Mm. I can't say enough how important it is to be secular, because I mean religions can be like trends.
Yeah, and I mean you look at someone like Tony Abbott. You know, I mean his mate George Pell, who you know is on that tax exempt status, so is, you know owns God knows how much property the Catholic yep. Church owns in Australia. So they are a very powerful force and they have, you know, they are walking the inner sanctum of Parliament and influencing it, no doubt.
All throughout, exactly, yep. Can you recall the moment when you saw a need for a libertarian political party in Australia?
Yeah, that was a really good, that was a really interesting question. You know, when I started thinking about it, because I was thinking, oh, well, it was the internet filter, you know, it was, but it wasn't. It was actually much earlier than that. And I think, you know, it was actually when you look back at HIV and AIDS and I, you know, defying my age, was around in some of those initial debates about it. And that was when, you know, we started hearing things like, you know, it's, you know, that's God's way of punishing gays or that sort of thing. And I think that was really when I started to see we need people to be thinking in a much more libertarian point of view and a much more progressive point of view. And also, I mean, I've been involved in sex work and prostitution law reform. And again, the number of times you'd be lobbying for law reform and you would have the local church coming in or a member of parliament saying, but my church doesn't support this. Yeah. And so I think, yeah, it's been a long time back, but certainly seeing the likes of Family First getting traction. I mean, we've now got Family First, we've got the Christian Party, the DLP.
Danny Nally has just launched a new party.
I know. Look, I'm actually a bit excited about that, you know, because like, he's just crazy. You know?
Yep. No, he got kicked out of Family First. You've got to be pretty crazy to get kicked out of Family First.
Well, I attended one of his exorcisms.
Oh, really?
Well, Canberra, yeah.
In Canberra, he went to exorcise Canberra.
Wow.
Like, because he was very worried Canberra's built like on five hills, so it was a pentagram. So, of course, you know, witches and warlocks are everywhere. It was naturally, you know, and they all fasted for days and went up there and, I know, threw salt all over this hill. We had a sausage sizzle.
Okay, so I guess just to be completely clear, as an atheist, an active atheist, because you're speaking at the GAC, which is massive, how do your beliefs represent the official ASP policies on religion and how important it is to be secular?
Look, I think it's about being secular. So it's about freedom of religion and freedom from religion. So, I mean, I don't mind what people believe as long as they're not trying to influence my life with, exactly, with their beliefs. And so I think, you know, for the most part, yes, I'm an atheist, so yes, I support, you know, I support most of the policies from an atheist perspective, but I would suggest that, you know, a lot of our members are actually do have a religious belief of some point or are a theist.
Absolutely.
But our thing is about a separation and a secularism in our society, and that's the important thing. And, yeah, so policies like, you know, I guess addressing the tax-exempt status of religion is probably something that is not only supported by atheists. I've actually spoken to rabbis who support it as well. So, you know, I think our policies, while I support them as an atheist, I don't think they're necessarily based on my personal perspective.
Definitely. Absolutely.
And just to put that into context, I'll read out some of your policies here. Remove any restrictions preventing same-sex couples from adopting. Require private service providers to provide for same-sex individuals in a non-discriminatory manner, including adoption and IVF services. Advocate for amendment to surrogacy laws such that the intended caregivers can become the legal guardians of the child without going through adoption processes. And to create total equal rights in all areas of the law for gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, intersex and queer people. So that being said, what is the party policy exactly on marriage equality? Obviously, it's positive.
Yeah, I just, you know, again, it just goes down to that last point that no law should discriminate against someone on the grounds of their sexuality.
Exactly.
And it's a no-brainer, really.
It's interesting because marriage, I think the majority of marriages in Australia are done by civil celebrants employed by the state. So these are state-based weddings. It's not like it's a religious institution wholly considered here in Australia anyway. So that is a law done by the state.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's really important to remember that we're not talking about forcing churches or forcing people with religious identities and religious beliefs to, you know,
Go against their beliefs.
We're just saying that we as an Australian society, an Australian government, should not have a law that discriminates against someone.
I'm absolutely in favour of religions being allowed to be as discriminatory and backwards as they want to be. All good luck to them, you know, but don't force that on other people.
Yeah, so. Although there's a review on the Discrimination Act at the moment, and we've just put in some submissions on that. And we're saying, look, because currently the churches and religion actually just have an automatic exemption. So we've seen that at religious schools where they don't let same-sex couples attend formals or they sack someone for being gay. And we're saying, actually, you shouldn't have an automatic exemption.
Absolutely.
If you want to be discriminatory, you need to apply to be discriminatory.
Or if you're going to be discriminatory.
The Peel did it, there certainly are examples of it. And I think there are certainly some examples where exemptions to the Discrimination Act are appropriate.
Absolutely. And I'd love to continue this discussion in just a couple of seconds. We're just going to play some community service announcements to our lovely listeners. Welcome back to Generation Next. It's currently 7:31 and we're lucky enough to be joined in the studio with Fiona Patton and Jason Ball. Fiona, thank you so much for your time. Jason, you're here for the hour, so we'll thank you later on. We were just speaking during the break about government funding, and it's also relevant to why the government should be secular. But what we wanted to talk about specifically with you while we've trapped you in this room is what other LGBTIQ specific policies would you introduce in government?
Look, I think a lot of it is about just removing any form of discrimination on the grounds of sex and sexuality. And, you know, that kind of goes across the board. And, you know, in some ways, it would be great if our society, and I think our society has gone a long way, but our society doesn't necessarily judge someone or rate them on who they're having sex with or who they love. That should really be, or even what gender they are or what sexuality they are, or how they identify. That shouldn't be relevant to government legislation really at all.
Yeah.
To make that happen, I think we need to have better sex education, and I think it needs to start at a much younger age. So we would see that as part of a broad sexuality policy, But also some of the policies that you mentioned earlier, which is about just removing any discrimination against LGBTI community and those identifying as intersex or those identifying gay, lesbian, straight, bisexual, that really it shouldn't be relevant. I mean, I kind of wonder why we even have gender on our passports or on our licences.
Exactly, yeah.
You know,
That something just went ping in my brain. There was a move to put an X on Australian passports if there was no male or female specific gender. Mm. I thought that had happened.
It has happened to a certain degree, but then I kind of question, like, we actually started, it came up when we were looking at our Australian Sex Party membership form, and we've always had sex there. And then we kind of thought, okay, well, we can't just have male, female, then we'd have to have, you know, and then I thought, well, other I find really offensive.
It is, yeah.
So then I was thinking, okay, so we've got to have intersex, we've got to have transsexual, we've got to have all of this. And I thought, why do I even need to know?
Can't we just be human beings?
Exactly. Yeah. So we just deleted the question and we just no longer ask it. And
which is brilliant, yeah.
Really, I don't know why we ask it on anything specifically. It doesn't, you know, I guess in passports in the olden days, I don't know whether they made you drop your pants to prove, you know, what you were, but they don't do it now.
I think it's really hard to define Australia as a free country for placing restrictions on people, really.
Yeah.
One last question. Thank you so much for your time. I know it's valuable and we really appreciate you coming in to talk to us. And that is, well, I've lost it. For those listening who are really interested in the Australian Sex Party, which I think a lot of us are, I mean, your policies are so specific to LGBTIQ people, unlike any other party policy that I've read currently. How can we get more involved, even if it is just a letterbox drop or signing up to the newsletter? What's the sort of things we can do?
Look, yep, sign up to the newsletter. Certainly our website, which is obviously sexparty.org.au. But also, there is a by-election on in Victoria at the moment, and it's the seat of Nidri, which is our Attorney General Rob Hull's old seat. And we'll be running a campaign out there with a great candidate. So if people would like to get involved in that, next Monday evening we're having a get-to-know-you meeting at Miss Libertine in the city, and there'll be information about that on our Facebook page and on our website. And the more the merrier. And, yeah, there'll be lots of letterbox dropping and those, wearing yellow T-shirts.
For those technological people, you also do have a Twitter?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, which is?
Oz Sex Party, so AUS Sex Party.
Yep. So get on there and get onto that.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the studio. You're listening to Joy 949 Generation Next. That was Fiona Patton earlier. Before the break, she is the founder of the Australian Sex Party and is going to be speaking at the Global Atheist Convention in April from the 13th to the 15th. And joining us now on the line is Kylie Sturgis, who is the MC of the upcoming Global Atheist Convention. Hi, Kylie. How are you?
Hello, Jason. Hello, Joy FM. Thanks for having me.
Hi. How are you?
Great.
It's so good to have you on. Thanks, Kylie, for coming in, well, not really coming in, but for letting us call you today.
No, it's wonderful. I was just enjoying the sounds of Debbie Harry then. So.
Oh, you know, that was a winner with Fiona as well. I think we get a plus on our on our music choices.
Yeah, she's wonderful.
So we had a few questions for you. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Not a worry.
Yeah. So the first one is, when did you begin to identify as atheist or sceptical?
Oh, I would say that I began to identify when I fell in love.
Oh.
I'm a real sentimentalist, yes. I fell in love with the man who eventually became my husband. Oh, let me see, would have been 1998. And he was a real free-thinking, critical-thinking kind of guy, a computer scientist. And he just opened up my eyes to the fact that science is the way to look at the world. And it's just been a journey ever since then. I was raised in a sort of a quasi-religious family, but I did a degree in philosophy. And that led me to become a teacher in a variety of schools, including Islamic schools, Methodist schools. I nearly got headhunted by a Jewish college at one point. And since that time, I've even worked at a Catholic university in the theology department, even though I'm an atheist. So, yeah, it's been quite a journey, really.
I read about that with a lot of interest because I wasn't, I didn't realise that you would be allowed to work in a private school as an atheist, one of those evil atheists. But I just have to interject for a moment because your story of becoming an atheist is so great. I just wanted to say, look, Lee, atheism can be romantic.
I never said it wasn't romantic. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Was there ever a point in your history where you were agnostic, or was it just one step to the other?
I think I was tending towards agnosticism, but everyone at my university was either Catholic or Christian, and I always seemed to be kind of the little left one out, you know. Catholic guys have a tendency to date Catholic girls, and Christian people sort of get together and talk about, you know, the things that they hold in common. And I was always sort of on the left foot going, yeah, but what about this?
Yeah, I know exactly what
you
mean.
And what about that?
Questioning.
And feeling a little bit left and alone in that regard, yeah.
Well, we mentioned before, as an educator, you've had loads of experience with religious education. And in any of the schools that you've worked in, are there any atheism components in the current curriculums?
There is in the program that I teach. For the last 2 years, and in fact for a few years prior to that, I've contributed to a course in Western Australia called Philosophy and Ethics. And in the final year course, the Year 12 course, there is a large section on philosophy of religion. And if you're going to be talking about religion, you're going to be talking about lack of faith as well. And what are the arguments there? And so the students get to do a fantastic investigation of not only scientific arguments for religion, what criticisms there are for it, and where does science and religion intersect. So we're looking at Darwinism, we're looking at intelligent design, arguments for, arguments against, and it gives students a real opportunity to critically look at the claims that are put out there, especially ones which are current in society.
Definitely. Now, speaking about criticisms, actually, being called a godless person always sounds sort of like an insult. I'm just curious, how informed do you feel Aussies are about atheism?
I think that there's a lot more of us out there. In fact, when you said, oh, being a teacher in the sort of the religious school system or just being out there's a lot of us out there. People just don't know.
Exactly,
and, yeah. And it's entirely possible you might be sitting across from an atheist right at this very moment.
Exactly.
Oh, my God, I'm sitting across from two.
Actually, there's four of us in here. So yeah. Three.
Yeah, and it's not necessary for everyone to come out, you know. You do it in your own way, in your own time, if you feel like it. When you come to, you stand up for what you believe in when you believe that you need to have a say.
That's it.
The Global Atheist Convention is an excellent opportunity for people to, even if you're not religious, come along and find out and learn more about what are atheists all about.
Yeah. If we can address that, what is, just in a sentence, the Global Atheist Convention about?
Well, for me, I think it's about everyone who's intrigued by atheism. You want to find out what are the ideas that are being put out there. If you want to collaborate on common causes, work towards building communities. And I think that there are a lot of discussions out there about politics, about religion, about social activism that needs to be heard. And certainly there's a lot of debates out there. And so this is an excellent opportunity for some of the key voices to be heard and also for some of the little voices. I mean, people in the audience, every time there's a break, we're all around the coffee machine just chatting about what we heard, saying, oh, I couldn't believe that, that was rubbish. No, he was inspirational. And then taking that home and saying, okay, what am I going to do with this? Does it make a difference to me and how does it make a difference to others?
To add to that, Carly, I think, the tagline of the convention is a celebration of reason. And so what we really wanted to get across was, I guess, you know, atheism is a sort of, it's a negative belief, like it's saying that you don't believe in something. And so I guess what we wanted to get across a little bit with this convention is the positive values that we do believe in as atheists. We believe in reason, we believe in evidence and all of that.
Absolutely.
I think there's an overlap between atheism and skepticism to a certain point, but I also think that atheism can be something that someone can use to affect positive change, because you're looking around you and saying, okay, there's some things that are just dreadful for everybody, regardless of religion. And so atheism, I hope, will certainly help people towards that journey of making it better for everyone.
Definitely.
Kylie, will you stick around and talk to us after a brief break?
Oh, I'd love to. Yes, play me more music, definitely.
Thank you.
Hey, this is Joel Creasy. You're listening to the Twinkiest Show on Joy, Generation Next.
You sure are listening to Generation Next, and we're still lucky enough to be joined by Kylie Sturges, the Master of Ceremonies of the Global Atheist Convention. Kylie, you're still with us?
Absolutely. Hello, Joy FM.
Hi.
Excellent. So my next question for you, I kind of got pulled off on a tangent before, but I really wanted to make sure that that I asked you this because you've got so much experience. How do you feel Australian public schools would benefit from a well-rounded education in religious, including opposing faiths, evolution theories and scepticism?
Well, this is part of our society. Even though we may not be a Christian country, there are people out there who are possibly going to visit countries which are religious, and certainly just the same way we can look around and see atheists around us all the time, we're going to see people of different faiths. And at certain points in your life, you're going to come across conflict. And it helps you to be informed. It helps you to understand what other people value, where other people are coming from, so you can make the best arguments, the strongest arguments that can benefit everybody. You can't just say, oh, well, that's them, this is us. We have to interact. We're a community. And certainly as being a part of community, you have to care for each other and understanding why people come up with the beliefs that they do and why you come up with your own beliefs. It's incredibly empowering to know what you're standing for, and certainly religion is a part of that for many people. And that's why I think we do need to be well-rounded in education in general, not just in understanding religions, but understanding science, which is where the skepticism comes into it.
Absolutely. I think the only way we any of us can make informed decisions is to know as much as we possibly can about what we're deciding on. So just in closing, I know it's a massive year for you with the Global Atheist Convention, as well as updating your podcast, the Token Skeptic Podcast. But what else are you up to this year?
Well, I'm currently at the National Science Convention Conference. Sorry, it's the National Science Communicators Conference. It's all about the communication of science. And as a science podcaster for the Token Skeptic, I'm intrigued to see what's going on out there, especially with the new Inspiring Australia report, which is meant to encourage an understanding of science and reason for everybody in the country. And so I've been listening to talks by Lynn Beasley, Craig McCormack. We had Dr. Carl. He had the most brightest orange pants you could possibly imagine.
Of course he did. Of course.
And I think he was wearing nail polish, but don't quote me on that, okay? I really want to find out more.
We don't judge.
He looked so snazzy. It was brilliant. And, of course, Robin Williams as well. He's another well-known ABC science communicator. And they were just wonderful. It's the first day. We've got two more days to go. And I'm going to be running around blogging and tweeting. I'm a member of Freethought Blog, which is the blog network that T.Z. Myers and Ed Brayton run. So if you want to check out what science is going down in Australia, you can check it out there on the Token Skeptic blog.
Kylie, thank you so much for your time talking to us tonight. I think it's been a really informative show, kind of breaking down the miseducation of atheism in Australia.
Dr. Fiona Patton rock. She is just wonderful.
Well, wasn't she great? Yeah. You rock too. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thanks, Joy Finn.
See you later. Oh, wow, it has been such a jam-packed show. I feel like I haven't gotten through everything. And there were some questions that I really wanted to ask you, so we're not playing any music tonight. I'm just going straight on to the next question that I had for you, Jason, because I think this is a really interesting one. So a lot of people think about God or any deities or goddesses or whatever it is you choose to believe in as a behaviour moderator or an invisible governing force. Is this a way of not taking responsibility for your actions? Or if this was to be taken away, would it be a good thing to live in a godless world, or is God, or the fear of God, monitoring people's behaviour so they don't always do the wrong thing?
Yeah, right. I mean, you know, I would hear it asked perhaps, you know, if there's no God out there, then what's stopping you from raping and murdering and committing crimes and everything like that? And I think really that reveals something about, you know, the believer's position, that the only reason that they don't rape or murder or kill or steal or anything like that is because they're afraid of hell or heaven. I mean, I don't think that's the case. I think we'd be in a just situation where we've got people who do good things because they want to do good things, and they can see the benefits of doing good things as opposed to fearing eternal retribution and hellfire or something like that.
Because it couldn't possibly be that there's just good people out there.
So essentially, people are good or bad, and it doesn't matter what religion they follow or use to their own ends.
Well, I think that values like, you know, honesty and truth and justice, these are universal principles that transcend all religions as well as non-religious worldviews, I think. So I think absolutely atheists can be ethical people just as much as religious people can. But, you know, I would say that there's elements of religion that can cause people to actually be unethical. And I guess that's part of what we're speaking out against as with the Global Atheist Convention.
Definitely. Now, that being said about ethical and ethics in general, crimes have been or are being committed in the name of religion for as long as religion has been around. Do you think the belief in deities is harmless or dangerous?
It depends, I think, is my answer. Belief in God, it can be completely harmless. It depends on how you use that belief. Yep. I mean, I think what can be harmful is believing in something without evidence. I think we should have good data and good reasons for our belief. If we don't, then it's a slippery slope. I mean, if you look at the happenings of September 11, you know, we've got people who believe 100% beyond a doubt that they're going to go to heaven for doing what they did on September 11.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's just as much evidence to support that belief as there is to support many of the beliefs within Christianity and in the Bible. So I think, you know, we really need to be looking towards using evidence to back up our beliefs.
Definitely.
This might be the fastest a show has ever gone. I can't believe it's nearly over. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can we get more information on the Global Atheist Convention, and how can we get in contact with you to tell you how great you are?
You can follow me on Twitter at JasonBall88, or follow the Atheist Convention, which is at AtheistCon. The Atheist Convention website is www.atheistconvention.org.au. There's all sorts of information on there, including a massive list of speakers. There's like 30 or 40 speakers, including Richard Dawkins and Sam Harris, Daniel Dennett, Ayaan Hirsi Ali. There's comedians like Ben Elton and Catherine Devaney. It's a massive list, so go check it out. There's also a host of fringe events happening around the time of the convention that are, you know, if you can't afford tickets to a 3-day convention, there's heaps of little side events happening as well. So atheistconvention.org.au.
And eventually, what am I saying? In closing, just because of our listeners, you know, LGBTIQ youth, a lot of them growing up in religious households, as we said before, might struggle with the idea that if God made them gay, then why is religion so against gay people? What advice would you give these kids now? Because obviously you've overcome things in your life to get to where you are, and you're really prominent in the Global Atheist Convention. So what advice do you have for listeners at home to...
I think the advice I would give is sort of the advice I took when I was younger, which is, I mean, for me as an atheist, realizing that I only get to live once, and you may as well be happy if you're going to only live once, and don't do what, you know, other people are telling you is right. Do what feels right in your heart. And I think from our perspective, you know, even though it might say in Holy Scripture or something like that, that being homosexual is an abomination, we know from science that homosexuality is a part of nature. It exists in thousands of other animal species, and we're an animal species too. Something that comes naturally can't be against God's will if there is a God, and it's certainly embraced within the atheist community.
And I think I just have to say that I don't think it says in the Bible that homosexuality is a sin.
See, we talked about this last week, and someone wrote in and said it did, and I'm not familiar enough with the Bible to...
Well, I'm pretty sure it says man should not lay with another man, and it's simply as that.
So an abomination, like, I think, is the word. And also the punishment. We could get into it, but, I mean, just listen to what the Pope has to say about it. You know, he says homosexuality is as dangerous as rainforest destruction. You know,
but
religious
that's also,
leaders
that's
out
there. The way that he's been taught on the Bible as well. So, I mean, everyone has their own understanding of the Bible and how it's actually read. So, I mean, man laying with another man could be man laying with another man in death on the fields. So, you know, government sending people over to war, man is laying with another man. You could read it in any context, really.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with religious texts, is they can be read in all sorts of different ways, and for people will take their own agenda to it, I guess.
Absolutely. All about agendas, I think, unequivocally, it's agendas where things go wrong, because you could follow a religion and be a really good person, but once there's an agenda involved, it's all over from there. And anyway, Jason, thank you so much for coming in and talk to us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Jason.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll be right back after this short break. You're with Generation Next. It's currently 7:57 p.m. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I think it's been a really exciting
show. It's awesome.
I don't think the hour's ever gone by so fast. So
been in two, I think.
You've been joined with Matt, Emma Lee and Jason, our lovely guest host. Thank you so much for listening to us. If you'd like to get in touch with us, 0427-JOY-949 is the phone number. You can email at us at generationnext at joy.org.au. You can tweet us at where?
GenNextJOY949.
Yes, that's the one.
Or find us on Facebook with a little search bar. We need to find a better way of doing that.
That's it, absolutely. Guys, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week.
And thank you, Brad.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.